Today we're in Mark 14, and we're looking at facing difficulties. What happens in Mark is the closer you get to the cross, the longer the chapters get. It's almost like the emphasis in Mark is on the passion of Christ, the suffering of Christ. And so Mark has those two major sections. At the end of the first one, Peter says, "You are the Christ." At the end of the second major section, the Roman centurion said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." So you put those together, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Mark has two purposes, things he's trying to accomplish. One is evangelistic, to get people saved. The second is discipleship. Once they're saved, to help them grow. And so we're in the second section here, and we're talking about how Jesus was discipling the apostles, the ones who would later become the apostles. So anyway, so facing difficulties. Point number one, we need to remember in the middle of the difficulties, we need to remember and value Jesus, because there's really nothing we're going through that he hasn't already. So it says here in 14:1, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Okay? So they don't want to arrest Jesus publicly because they're afraid of a riot. And at the Passover, there were a lot of Jews who were coming in from all over the world. And so they were, the chief priests and the scribes were afraid that if a riot started, the Romans would crack down on them. All right, so they're basically afraid of the people. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he came, a woman came having an alabaster flask. Very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, there's a website, it's called VCoins, virtual coins, where you can buy antiquities. And if you went to VCoins.com and you entered the search field, you put alabaster flask, you can actually buy these things. And they're very expensive. A flask made of alabaster from the ancient world, you could probably get one for about $600. Well, they were very expensive in that day, too. I mean, you would reuse an alabaster flask. It had this long neck on it. Well, this woman who comes in, she breaks it. She breaks the neck off. So that means that can't be used. You know, spikenard, what we would say nard, even today is very, very valuable. In that day, he goes on and tells you how much. She broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, this isn't the anointing where the lady poured it on his feet and is washing with her hair. That's not this. There are actually two accounts, and they aren't the same. There were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" Was it wasted? What was it for? The guys are all arguing about which one of them is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I mean, they don't have a clue. this lady comes in, and she is the one who realizes the value of Jesus. She's doing it for Jesus, and she's doing it out of love. Now, we know from the parallels that this chorus, "This could have been sold and given to the poor," was being led by somebody named Judas Iscariot. And he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he used to skim money off the flute bag that they kept the funds in. He was pilfering, all right? And this might have been sold, verse 5, for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now, the denarius was worth about $33 in those days, and today, if you're lucky, you can find a denarius, a Roman silver coin, for about $50. It was one day's wage for a worker. All right, more than 300, what is that? That's about a year's wage for a worker. Okay, we're talking $35,000. Okay, and it was hard to come by, difficult to get, and she broke the alabaster and she poured. It's just a lavish thing. And they say, why all this waste? And Jesus gets after them. Jesus, and they criticized her sharply. They were scolding her for what she had done. Leave her alone. Why are you troubling her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Jesus is saying we need to help the poor. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now, this is the suffering servant, which they're not expecting, all right? Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And you know what? We're doing that same thing right now. Of all those people in that room, all those men, she was the one who valued Jesus. There's not a way. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, and according to the parallels, he's the one who led the chorus that was saying, why was this waste, why wasn't it redeemed and given to the poor? He was the one who was leading that. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, so he thought how he might conveniently betray him. Now, the idea is to betray him when he's away from the crowds where it won't start a riot. And if anybody could do that, an insider could. Now, what was the price that they valued Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. That is the cost of a slave. She, the woman, poured out oil on Jesus that was more than a year's wage. They, Jesus, Judas and the priests, valued him the price of a slave. That was also a fulfillment of a prophecy, too, by the way. It was Zechariah. All right, so number one, we need to remember and value Jesus. The world does not value Jesus the same. But we value Jesus because we realize who he is, just like that lady. All right? Number two, once you value Jesus and you remember what he did, you obey Jesus. You're obedient. He was obedient to the cross, and he's kind of our model at this point. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they kill the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that we may eat the Passover?" So this is on Thursday. And that night when the sun went down and you could see three stars in the sky, that was the beginning of the Passover, the day that they would be sacrificing the lamb. That's the day that Jesus was crucified on Friday. He says, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." Now, usually the ladies were carrying the pitchers of water. This is kind of an unusual thing. "You will find a man carrying a pitcher of water and follow him. Whatever house he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." Now, Jesus is God. He knows all things. And it happens just like he said. All right. "So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me.' And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, it isn't me, is it?' And another said, 'It isn't me, is it?' He answered and said to them, 'It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born.'" Now, you put that together with what he said to Judas when he came up and kissed him, which was a sign of recognition. "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Remember that? All right? You put those two together, Judas is sinning with both eyes open. He knows exactly what he's doing. But it was prophesied, "He who eats with me will be healed against me." Now, in the East, if you are at a meal and you're is a hospitality, you're receiving hospitality, it is very, very bad if you betray your host. Okay? It's a shocking thing. And that is what Judas does. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it." Now, the father of the house at the Passover would take bread and lift it up and said, and say, "Blessed art thou, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth." And then he'd pass it around. Okay, that's what they did at the Passover. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" This represents my body. Just like you break it, his body's broken. He's talking about suffering servant. He's talking about his sacrifice. "And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" So, you know, you're taking the grape juice. We're kind of joining him at the table, okay? And interestingly, he hasn't tasted that ever since that night. It's been 2,000 years, and he's not going to drink of it until we're with him. Marriage Supper of the Lamb. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, I'm going to kind of camp out here for a minute. It's called the Great Hillel. Okay, the Great Praise. And if you go back into the Psalms, you don't have to do that, but I'm going to go back there because this is some interesting stuff. The Great Hillel is basically Psalm 115 through 118. Okay, now they would sing that together. All right. And it wasn't, okay, just as I am. They would sing the Great Hallel. Now, I'm going to read some of the verses. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read some of the verses that they would have sung before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, Jesus is in agony. His time is approaching. He's feeling the weight of the sin of all humanity on him. I'm starting 115. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth is given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord, Psalm 116, because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear. Therefore, I will call as long as I live. The pains of death surround me, the pangs of Sheol. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits for me? And call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people now. Precious in the eyes of the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy me. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. 118:14. 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief of the corner. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, O Lord, I pray. Save now, O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And they went out. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives is that mountain that is going to split, according to Zechariah. When his feet touch upon it, it'll split east to west and remove north to south. And they had an earthquake in Jerusalem. There's a Russian Orthodox church right there on the top of the Mount of Olives. And Lane Rittmeyer, who is an architect, he's a saved Dutch architect, he said that there was a split in the foundation of that church from east to west. That's my idea of a church split right there. That mountain's set to go. They've actually got a computer to join the verses that are related from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's a magnificent thing to show the interconnectedness of the Scripture. Remind me after the class and I'll look it up and show it to you. They've got it in color. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Zechariah 13:7. "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him. Now, Peter has a problem with suffering servant thing, all right? And Peter's a big guy, and he tends to trust in his goodness. He's a strong guy, and he tends to trust his strongness. He's been living in the ocean. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said likewise. They're going to start a revolt like Mattathias the Hasmonean. They're going to overthrow Rome. This is zealot talk right here. All right. Point number three, we need to pray. When we face difficulties, we need to pray. Jesus is facing the ultimate difficulty in his life. He's going to be made sin for us. He's going to carry the weight of the sin on his shoulders, and he's going to taste spiritual death for us on the cross. He prays about it. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. That means olive press. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and watch." He wants them to stay awake and watch with him. Well, okay. When girls get depressed, they eat. When guys get depressed, they sleep. After they eat. Have you got that? You need to write this down. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed, "If it were possible, the hour might pass from him." Now, he's not trying to get out of it. I think what he's saying here is, let's get this over with. He prayed that three times, and then Judas came and kissed him, and they got it over with. He just didn't want to stretch it out, all right? Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Notice he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon, all right? Because he's not acting. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? What? See, he's so tough. He can't even stay awake an hour and pray with Jesus. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went and prayed, spoke the same words. Then he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they didn't know what to answer him. Then he came the third time. See, at the time Jesus needed them the most, they aren't there for him. Jesus came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And that's the Greek perfect tense. He's at hand and continues to be at hand. The betrayer's shown up. All right, number four. We need to follow through on our commitment. When we make a promise, for whatever reason, we need to follow through on it. If we say we're going to give to the building program, we need to give to the building program. If we tell somebody, I'll pray for you, we need to pray for them. What I do there, not that I'm a great shining example of this, but if I tell somebody I'll pray for them, as soon as I say bye and they walk off, I pray for them right there. I never miss it. And I might remember later and pray for them, but I've done what I said I was going to do, all right? Immediately, while he was still speaking to Judas, I think what he's saying, let's get this over with. And we pray that three times. That's just me. That's just my interpretation right there. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him and lead him away in safety. As soon as he had come, now, we need to follow through with our commitment now. Jesus is, I'm not saying go be like Judas who followed through on his commitment. I'm not saying that. Yeah. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus, in the parallel, said, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? He knew exactly what he was doing, all right? Then they took their hands, they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, who was it? It was Peter. What was the servant? Malchus. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. Why are you doing this? He's calling them to account for their actions. If he had been teaching blasphemy, which is why they're going to crucify him, because he, being a man, made himself God. If he was teaching blasphemy, why didn't they arrest him in the temple? Why didn't they? They were afraid of the people. They didn't want the people to rise up against them. I was with you daily in the temple teaching, and you can't seize me. He's calling them a bunch of hypocrites right there. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. It wasn't just Peter who forsook him. Who was it? Everybody. Judas had already forsook him. But all the rest of them who said, you know, they were all bragging when Peter said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. Likewise, and that's 14:31. They're full of bug stuffing. When the time came to, you know what they say in Georgia? Is there anybody here from Georgia? That's what I figured. They say in Georgia, don't let your mouth write a check that your body can't cash. Well, they all wrote a check, and now's the time to pay up, and they all fled. They all forsook him, not just Peter. Now, a certain young man followed him. Now, who is this? I think it's John Mark, because his mother had an estate that was very close to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where they're praying when Rhoda comes to the door, there in John Mark's mother's house. He hears the hubbub down there, and he throws this cloak over him, and he's scantily clad, let's just say. And he runs down there to find out what's going on. A certain young, there's no other reason why this should be in the Gospel of Mark. It doesn't add much. I think this is personally. Then a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. Now this is that guard that had come to take Jesus. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Okay. Finally, verse 6. We need to give a good witness. When we're facing difficulties, we need to have a proper response, and we need to give witness to God. If you're going through difficulties and you can show the joy of the Holy Spirit, it shows up best in difficulties. You might not feel comfortable, but what God's done in your life is going to show up very clearly if you're going through a problem. That man's importunity is God's opportunity. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, but Peter followed him at a distance. Right into the courtyard of the high priest, he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. That is a very dangerous place to be, following Jesus at a distance and warming yourself at the fires of the world. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. The witnesses disagreed. For many bore false witnesses against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and with 3 days I will build another made without hands. He didn't say that. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But even then, their testimonies did not agree. Well, guess what? If they can't find 2 or 3 witnesses, they've got to release him. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent, said nothing. Then the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And what does the Blessed mean? It means God. It's a euphemism. The Jews didn't want to misuse the name of God, so they'll say the Blessed. Or they'll say the name, Hashem, blessed be he. All right? It says, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. That's Daniel chapter 7, if you want to look that up. Then the high priest tore his clothes, which he's not supposed to do according to the law, said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? Blasphemy." What blasphemy? Makes himself equal with the blessed, with God, all right? "You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now, this is another violation of the law. You've got to have two or three witnesses. You cannot condemn a man and crucify him on the same day. You cannot have a night court. They're breaking the law all over the place to condemn a person who never broke the law. "Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the officers struck him and called him to the hand." That's an insult. Now, when Peter was below in the courtyard, he was going to take on the Roman army just a couple of verses ago, and here comes a milkmaid. All right? "Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls, the high priest, came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.'" Oh, well, that's elegant. With a Galilean accent. "But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you're saying.' And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed." Uh-oh. "And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.'" She's identified him properly. She's got a positive ID. "But he denied it again. A little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely one of you were one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.'" Every time you open your mouth. "Then he began to curse and to swear." He's going back to his position as a fisherman. "Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.'" Now, there's a technical term for that. It's lying. All right? How many times has he denied Jesus? Third time? It says, the second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Now, in Raleigh, across from the Capitol, there's an old Anglican church called Christ Church. It's made out of stone that they had left over when they built the Capitol. At the top of the steeple, there is a gilded rooster. They said right at the end of the Civil War, where there were people from the 21st Michigan camped all over the, or 21st Wisconsin, camped all over the Capitol grounds, that was the last chicken left in Raleigh. Why would a church put a rooster on the top of the steeple? What does that symbolize? Jesus told us to watch and pray. Peter denied Christ three times because he wasn't watching and praying, and that's what that rooster reminds us of. Okay? So, what do we do? Number one, we need to stay close to the Lord in prayer. He told us to do that. If Peter had been watching and praying, all right, number two, we need to focus on finding out God's will and then follow it. Third, we need to keep our commitment. If we make a promise, we need to follow through on it. Okay? Even if it's July 1st, we need to keep our commitment. No. As a citizen of the world, your word is on. You don't need to have to be a stack of Bibles to tell the truth. You need to tell the truth. finally you valued Jesus like that lady did, he's worth every sacrifice, and you need to give a good witness when difficulties arise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder. We know that Peter was broken, and we know that there's a sorrow of the world that works death, like Judas, who killed himself. But there is a godly sorrow that works to repentance that we don't have to repent of. If we have betrayed you, and disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft, if we have betrayed you, call it to mind and help us to repent of that and to be filled with your Spirit and to follow you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.